We are all the other. There are social constructs that make it seem normal to create differences between us. These constructs operate in a manner that drives folks apart rather than bring us together. We're living in times in which we're witnessing wedges being used to drive people further apart simply by highlighting differences. These social elements that fuel and support the concept of the other, they're based upon one thing versus another. By design, the distinction intentionally pits one thing against another, with one being better than or more desired, while the other is lesser or not so desirable. These distinctions range from being very clear to being not so clear at all, to being very subtle. So subtle in some instances that we can barely identify their existence. Current events are telling us that there's a need to address the issue of the other. We need to put an end to it, and an end to the damage that's caused by this social construct. The pretense that this is not an issue and that there are no elements of otherness operating within each of us has to be confronted directly. We have to take it on. Our pretense that we're not operating within that context only makes matters worse. It gives us the luxury to point a finger at someone else rather than really looking at how it resides within us. It's not over there, it's all here. We're eager to point out what women should be doing for the women's movement. We have opinions about what African Americans should be doing to make their situation better and to really get over this whole Black Lives Matter thing. We also have opinions about how to make America great again. But what is the position about you in your heart? Where are you on these positions, on these matters, on these topics? What's your opinion about understanding the other? The question becomes even more confronting when we ask, how does it feel when we are the other? We know that when people are in open, honest, and ongoing communication, the barriers disappear and the distance lessens. We know that the more we know people, the fewer the problems that result. This is very different than operating from a position of assimilation, but more from a position of acceptance and understanding. The most important element in this process of understanding is not only understanding each other, but also understanding ourselves. We think we understand ourselves, but maybe not so much. We think that we listen to each other, but that's actually questionable. At the same time, we don't think that we need to listen to ourselves because we already know where we stand, so why listen to ourselves? That last point is really huge. And at the end of the day, it's a huge part of the problem. And maybe if we look closely, we might even arrive at the conclusion that it's central to the problem. We don't know how to listen to ourselves. And in turn, we're not able to hear, understand, listen, and dismantle the harmful results of operating in the context that keeps the other in place. If we were to listen to ourselves, we'd be honest about our fears, the fears that arise in certain situations and under certain conditions. If we were to listen to ourselves, we would know that we have certain biases that, because we were brought up in a certain way, these biases support and sustain our issues, our values, and that distance. We don't know how to listen to ourselves in a way that comes from no agenda. We don't know how to listen to ourselves in a way that's just open and free. When we learn to listen to ourselves, it's not through the filters that we've learned over time, not through the filters that others have given us, but through that place, or from that place within us, where we can listen, knowing in our hearts what's right, what's true, and what's good. In reality, there is no social construct that's designed to pit one against the other. When you think about all of that knowledge that we acquire to prove that one is smarter than another, it still leaves us with the challenge of these social structures that divide us. One would think that if we were so smart, we should be able to figure this out. That's the problem. We're using the wrong tools to solve a different sort of problem. When we give up the arrogance of knowledge, wealth, and status, classism begins to disappear. The concept of the other begins to disappear. When we give up automatic reactions, that absence of class, we can call it socialism. That's a temptation. But that temptation to call it socialism is again coming from those structures, coming from not a place of nothing and no pre-arranged agenda. It's coming from, we already have the answer and we're going to call it socialism. That's not the answer at all. It's just about putting an end to those things that continue to drive a wedge between us. When we stop judging people based on social constructs, we can give up the misconception that all Muslims are bad. We are at a place in time where we must stop lying to each other. The argument for going back to a better time, or when times are better, is a backward-looking view. Such an argument calls for times when the good old days, make America great again. Think about it. There is no point in whatever era one wants to consider great again, where there was no other that was highlighted and endorsed for being less than. My contention is that we can do better than that. Actually, our survival and the continuation of life for the possibility of improvement depends on it. It relies on us getting over this and figuring this out. In closing, all of this is best captured in Colossians, chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. In short, what it says is that we are at a place where the lies must stop. We should change our clothes to match current day needs and give up the dated fashions of times gone by. Our attention to our differences serves no one. We are only free when we realize that we are all part of one body, of one family. God bless.